This special edition in-depth program, The Kids Are Back, Back to School, is brought to you in part by Central College, Two Rivers Cooperative, the City of Pella, Pella Corporation, Pella Engraving Company, and the Knoxville Recreation Center. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Verduft Agency, Central Cellular, Boats Home Furnishings, Dr. Kurt Vanderplew, Ulrich Ford and Lincoln, and Pella Regional Health Center. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The kids are back. Back to school, and the second part of a 10-part in-depth series on how to help children do their best in school. Let's learn about how vision impacts academic success and go in-depth with Dr. Michelle Jones with Family Eye Care Center, Pella. Well, Dr. Jones, you're from Pella here.
Yes.
Come back and practice here in town. That must be nice.
Yeah, yep. We wanted to come back with our family when we had the little boys. So, we're really happy to be back in town. We love it here.
And how long have you been here?
We've been back to Pella for 3 years now.
Okay. And this time of year, you must see a lot of kids.
We do. We see a lot of the back-to-school rush, kind of, as people are trying to prepare for that. We see a lot of the kindergartners and third graders particularly, because I think it's mandated that they get their eyes checked now before school. We see a lot of folks in September usually too, when they go to school, and then they start noticing problems as well, like they can't see the board, and then they'll bring the kids in or something too. So,
okay, so some kids come in because it's required because of the grade. Other kids come in because I presume parents have regular appointments.
Sure.
And then others come in because they see a problem.
Right.
Parents see a problem.
Right.
Teacher sees a problem.
Yep, yep. That's kind of pretty much the majority of people come in when they see a problem. We do have some that come in on a regular basis, which is kind of what we prefer because we can catch the problems earlier. But that's pretty much why people come in.
Now, how important is good vision to learning?
It's pretty huge. There's a statistic out there that 80% of what you learn is through your vision or through your eyes. So you can imagine, you know, being in school, everything you do is seeing the whiteboard, reading your books, doing your math problems. You have to be able to see all of that. And if you're struggling to see it, if it's blurry, or if you have one of the vision-related learning disorders that are out there as well, all of those things can hugely affect your grades and your performance in school.
Well, what kinds of vision problems might there be?
Well, there's the regular vision problems, like if you're nearsighted or farsighted, that would require glasses to help you see clearer. And then there's other vision problems as well out there that aren't as easy to catch. They wouldn't be caught in like a screening or anything like that. They'd be caught in an actual eye examination. And that is more like how your eyes work together as a team and that type of thing. The symptoms of that are different. It's not just blur, like blurry vision on the whiteboard, but it's headaches when you're reading, or that the words are moving on the page when they're reading and they don't know how to express that or tell their parents that. So even just poor reading comprehension scores, or sometimes even like attention or behavior problems can be associated with it, because if it hurts to look at something up close or it's uncomfortable, the kids don't want to do it, so they talk to the person next to them. So there's a lot of it involved with your vision.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on The Kids Are Back, Back to School is brought to you in part by Van Haften Racing and Otley, Precision Pulley and Idler, Dowie Pest Control, Skirring and Utermarkt, Pella Historical Society, and Digital Galleria. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting KNIAKRLS.com in the Radio Audio Media Player. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Culver's of Pella, Marion County Title Services, The Cutting Edge in Pella, Allen Family Dentistry, and Midtown Tire.
I continued my conversation with Dr. Michelle Jones with Family Eye Care Center.
Well, and I don't necessarily think of vision problems leading to behavioral problems, but what you say just made sense. Is that common?
It's actually more common than you think. They say it's about 1 in 4 kids has a what you call a binocular vision disorder, which would not all of those would lead to learning problems because some kids can just kind of overcome them, you know, just with determination. But 1 in 4 kids has one of those problems. So, you know, you can imagine the number of undiagnosed ones out there is pretty big.
And so binocular vision means our eyes working together?
Yes, yep. Binocular means two. So binocular vision means both eyes working together to see the same thing, you know, and comfortably as well.
And is that typically a mechanical, functional thing in the eyes themselves or something deep in our brain?
No, it's more of a mechanical thing with the eyes. The way that it's actually very treatable as well, the way we treat it is with vision therapy, which is very similar to physical therapy, only for your eyes. So it's like a lot of exercises with your eyes to get them to work better together. And it's, you know, completely treatable, and in a few months you can be, you know, comfortable reading, whereas before it would give you headaches or make you really tired or, you know, a whole slew of other things.
Well, how do you diagnose that? Do you just look at somebody closely in the eyes and see if they seem to track or what?
There's a lot of different tests we can do. We routinely do it on anyone 12 years old and younger. And then we also, you know, if there's any symptoms that we come across in the history, you know, asking the parents and the kids about school performance, then we might do it on older kids as well just to check. It's not just the which is better, 1 or 2 test. That's more for nearsighted, farsighted. But it's a lot of up-close testing with checking how their eyes are positioned, how well they can bring their eyes in and out and focus. And so there's a lot of other tests besides just the standard exam.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program, The Kids Are Back, Back to School, is brought to you in part by Knoxville Community School District, Marion County Auto Body, Pleasantville Schools, Norris Asphalt Paving Company, Twyla Wilson, Director of Sales, Shackley Nutrition, The Next Chapter, and Sundance Realty. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Anytime Fitness in Knoxville, Dandy Farms, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Brookwood Incorporated, the Marion County Fair Association, Medicap Pharmacy in Oskaloosa, and Twin Cedars Schools. Enjoy the program.
I continued my conversation with Dr. Michelle Jones with Family Eye Care Center.
Well, who most often? I guess I'm thinking there's probably 4 ways that you identify a problem. One is the kid does, one is the teacher does, one is a parent does, and 4 you do when they're in the office. Are those the main ways?
Yeah, I would say that's probably pretty accurate. Sometimes the problems that might be there, you know, a teacher or a parent might not realize that it is associated with their eyes, kind of like what we were talking about before with that their kid is getting headaches all the time, or they're really smart in every other area except for they struggle in reading. You know, they're in a special reading class or something like that, and they're actually a very bright kid. And a lot of people don't think to get their eyes checked for it. So that would be a problem that we would look for in a regular eye exam. And those are the kids that we're hoping will come in for a regular eye exam, even if it's not mandated or required for that year of school, or if, you know, they don't necessarily say they can't see far away, still bring them in because there's still those other problems to look for.
And so if the kid gets a C, bring them into the eye doctor? Is it that simple?
Well, yeah, kind of.
It's a place to start. particularly
if it's with reading performance. It tends to affect that more than, you know, science and math. It tends to affect their reading scores more. So if they're struggling with reading and they're really good in everything else, that's a little bit of a red flag.
Okay. Now, do kids recognize that there's a problem often? Do they say, hey, you know, I need to see the eye doctor?
Not very often, unless they're really nearsighted, meaning they can't see far away very well, you know, and they're squinting, and then they'll usually tell their parents, like, I can't see that road sign, or I can't see the TV from when they're sitting back. That kind of a problem generally is what's caught the most often, because it's the most obvious when your kid is sitting there squinting at something to try to see it.
And teachers spot that, I bet.
Yeah, oh yeah, and teachers definitely spot that a lot.
So
yeah.
Teachers probably look out at the classroom and say, you're squinting, you go
yeah.
see the doctor.
Or they have to move certain kids to the front of the class so that they can see what they're writing on the board. You know, those kids are usually identified as they should probably see the eye doctor because they probably aren't seeing 100%.
And parents see squinting.
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
It's interesting to think that those, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems that parents are sort of passive. They identify a problem or they see some symptom like squinting.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, why don't parents whip out an eye chart every once in a while? or do parents do that?
You know, I think a lot of parents feel that their kids are getting their eyes kind of checked with the screenings that either the school does, or the screenings that the school does, or the screenings that they do at their you know, general practitioner. And those are good because they'll catch certain problems, but they're not at all equivalent to a full eye exam, where, again, we're checking for a lot more than just do they need glasses.
So you're looking for maybe some kind of a functional problem, and is there a chance of disease as well?
Absolutely. You know, with kids, it's different diseases that you look for than older people. Older people, you're looking for age-related things like macular degeneration, cataracts, things like that. With kids, you're looking a little bit more for genetic problems or congenital problems with the eyes, and also any signs that there could be problems down the road. So they could have certain, you know, maybe their pressures in their eyes are higher than they should be. Well, it's good to identify that early just so you know that they're at a higher risk for certain things down the line that you can watch for and catch early if you need to.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on The Kids Are Back, Back to School is brought to you in part by Vermeer Corporation, Motor Inn Auto Group of Knoxville, Iowa State Savings Bank, Hy-Vee in Knoxville, Knoxville Raceway, Raceway Tire and Exhaust, the Pleasantville Clinic, and the South Central Iowa Solid Waste Agency. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting KNIAKRLS.com in the radio audio media player. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Iowa State Investment Representative Joe Cunningham, Kevin Wadley CPA, McCorkle Hardware, Knoxville Chamber of Commerce, Salon 114 in Knoxville, Klein's Quick Time and Towing, 3M Manufacturing, Knoxville Farm and Home, Stepping Stones Early Learning Center, and Celebrate Community Church.
I continued my conversation with Dr. Michelle Jones with Family Eye Care Center.
Now, how about nutrition? I mean, we all hear the folklore about eating carrots will make your eyes, your vision better.
Yeah.
Is any of that true? Should we be eating better? Especially, should we be feeding our kids better for better eyesight?
Yeah. I mean, nutrition is important for absolutely, you know, every part of your body, including your eyes. It's all connected. Things with antioxidants in them are great, there's, you know, nutrition, you can't just, when you have macular degeneration at age 60, then start eating better. You know, yes, of course you can do that, but it would be much better if you ate better your whole life and had maybe not gotten it, or, you know, it didn't come till you were 80 instead of 60. So things like darker green leafy vegetables, those always have good things for your eyes in them. And yeah, just starting it early is good because it makes a lifestyle out of it as well, you know, for your kids.
So I guess it's just part of the whole body being healthy. The eyes go along with that.
Absolutely.
So nothing special for the eyes.
Not particularly. If there is, you know, problems when you're older, we would do certain vitamins and things like that that have special formulations for those diseases. But just eating healthy, you know, less processed foods, more whole foods, again, the darker green leafy vegetables, things with antioxidants in them, berries, all that kind of stuff is good for your whole body, but also for your eyes as well.
Now, do things like getting kids involved in sports or arts or something like that provide some kind of guide to developing their vision, or does it just happen sort of naturally with respect to whatever we're doing?
Yeah, I think, you know, partly I would say, particularly with sports, you know, you're using your eyes like to track a ball versus just if you're using your eyes only to read or do schoolwork. It's a little bit different movement when you're doing a sport. So there's different functions your eyes are using for those versus your everyday activities. Watching television, doing sport, or doing schoolwork is different than when you're tracking a ball or things like that. So I think it helps with all of those different functions, but you also can see certain problems with kids with tracking that play sports that you wouldn't necessarily catch if they didn't play sports because they aren't using that function of their eyes.
Okay, let's say you have a friend that just had a baby, and you know, you congratulate her on having the baby and all that, but then you say, all right, I need you to bring her or him in at this time, and then here's what your schedule is going to be until they're adults. Do you have a plan like that? I'm sure you don't.
Yeah.
You know, give them a little note with that on it. But, I mean, is there something everybody should think about, a regular schedule of visits?
Yeah, we recommend at age 6 months to bring them in. And, again, we're not checking absolutely everything, but there's a lot of things we can check on an infant. We can use, like, lights and lenses to check prescriptions versus checking prescriptions with which is better, one or two. You can't ask an infant that, obviously. So there's other ways we can check, make sure there's not a high prescription hiding. And also we can check their eye pressures. We can check the health of the inside of their eyes by looking inside. And at that age, we're checking for any kind of congenital problems or eye turns, things that could affect the development of their eyes and of their brain simultaneously there. After that 6 month one, as long as everything checked out, then we generally go, you know, about once a year, maybe once every 2 years at least until school, and then when they start school for sure every year.
Okay, and I guess I don't want to be overly dramatic about this, but if we miss one of those, we're putting our kids at a disadvantage in school perhaps, and then once we get them disadvantaged or even a little bit behind, then it's hard to catch up. It might affect their lives trajectory because we're a little bit lazy about our eye appointments. Is that overly dramatic or is that true?
It's not. I mean, I've seen cases where, you know, a little baby maybe had a higher prescription. The parents maybe didn't think to get their eyes checked. And what happens then is the synapses in the brain don't form because the kid is not seeing clearly. So even it can develop something called amblyopia where if that baby never got checked till they were like 6 or 7, and then we found out they had this huge prescription, they're not seeing clearly. Even if you put a clear image, you give them glasses, you put a clear image on their eye, their brain will still not interpret it as clear because the synapses aren't there in the brain. So it can permanently affect their vision. You know, they could maybe never see 20/20 because they weren't corrected early enough. So there's definite, you know, possible permanent consequences to it.
So I'm not being overly dramatic.
No.
Maybe I'm being under dramatic. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it can lead to not learning, even learning disabilities.
Yeah, absolutely. The things we talked about earlier with the binocular vision disorders and things like that. We had a patient who was going into college, and she got checked with us, and my husband actually checked her eyes, and he started asking her kind of, what were your ACT scores? You know, how did you do in the reading comprehension section? And she said they were just in the tank. They were so bad in the reading comprehension section that I was limited to my college choices as to where I could get in, because they were so bad. And here she had one of those binocular vision disorders her whole school career, had never been diagnosed, and you know, it affected her college choices because she couldn't get in where she wanted to go because those scores were too low.
So one vision exam might have made that difference.
The right vision exam, yeah. Yeah, not a screening or something. A screening wouldn't catch those things because they don't check them, that's not their job. You know, they're trying to catch the big things, the real nearsighted, real farsighted folks. An eye examination, a comprehensive eye examination is a lot more thorough, checks for a lot more things.
Okay, and in general, an ophthalmologist, do we need to see?
If you're getting, you know, your kid's eyes checked for their comprehensive eye exam for the school year, an optometrist will do a fantastic job. An ophthalmologist is generally more for when surgery is required for some kind of a disease process or something.
I see. But it's important we not just take like the school eye exam. It's probably not
right enough.
That's a good starting point.
It's a good screening. It's a good starting point, and it will weed out some kids that need help, but it definitely won't catch those more fine problems that we talked about.
And dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a big problem?
It's definitely becoming more and more researched and more knowledge about it. Again, if someone has already been diagnosed with dyslexia through all the testing and they've been diagnosed, I don't doubt that they have it and should go, you know, the treatment route that they recommend. However, I wouldn't jump to the dyslexia if your kid is having a reading problem. I would get their eyes checked, ask about binocular vision disorders to be checked specifically, because we just currently were treating someone who thought maybe they had dyslexia or their child had dyslexia, and you know, we're treating them for a binocular vision disorder that they had. So I wouldn't jump to that conclusion if they're having reading problems, but you don't want to rule it out either.
Is it fun to work with kids in your job?
Yeah, I love it. They say the funniest things, and you know, they're definitely our most honest patients.
Thanks to Michelle Jones for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.